Now, we come together this morning, and everybody here has been through a different type of week for them, depending on, you know, everybody's got a different story. We know that. The last couple weeks, we've been talking about life and how life hits you, and it turned into a series without it actually being a series. I didn't expect it to take the turn that it has. 2 weeks ago, we talked about stress and worry. Last week, we talked about depression. And this week, I want to talk about dealing with sudden impact in our lives, sudden tragedies, so to speak. In other words, it kind of just dealing with life as it comes at you. I didn't intend it, and honestly, it may continue this way for a couple of weeks because I feel like this is just the Lord's message to us. And as last week happened, and everything took place the way that it did, we realize why some of these messages have happened. We realize that the church took a hit, and Keith and Pat and the family, you know, it's a difficult thing. And today, I hope to speak to that in some way. And a lot of things that happened within me this past week, I kind of went back in my mind to where I was 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, when I'm at work and I get a phone call that says, you need to get home. And I got home to find that my dad had passed away. And in that moment, there was an opportunity for me to do something that the temptation was there to do it. And that was to blame God for what had happened. And then in that moment, I also felt this peace of, you know, just pray and allow God to speak into you and allow God to speak through you. And that was the beginning of the ministry that I know now. I do fully believe that the ministry at Newland Christian Church started in me 5.5 years ago. That God had prepared me for that moment. And even just before that, where he had prepared me for things that I didn't realize were being put into preparation as that time came. And so here we are, 5.5 years later, and now I'm able to minister in ways that I never imagined I possibly could. And it brought me to this week, and this is actually an interesting sermon. Last week, many of you know that I wrote the sermon for Sunday morning. I wrote another sermon as a backup. And then I wrote a funeral service all on Sunday morning, somewhere between the hours of 3 o'clock and 5:30 that morning, because I was struggling with sleep and I was dealing with the stresses of that I was undergoing with everything. But, you know, and that in reality, I believe, was God's doing, because as I told Pat and Keith earlier this week, I laid down around 4 o'clock. Or 4:15, and at 4:30 was awakened with the scripture that I used in early in service this past week. And honestly, the thing about it is that I do believe God uses moments like that to speak into our hearts, to speak through us, and to see things happen. And as I got to thinking about that, this week's message is actually the second message that I wrote last week. In the process of that, thinking that it might actually be Sunday morning's message, but it turned out not to be, because as I told Joe last week, I sat there and was praying over it, and it wasn't finished. This week finished it for me, and that is why the bulletin has the two masks on it. And it's kind of a... How many of you know what these two masks are? I mean, let me ask that question before we go any farther. I know you do. You better, right? But how many of you know what these are? Do you want to enlighten them? Because you're probably more eloquent at telling them than I am. Exactly. Comedy and tragedy. And it goes back to the theater, which, I mean, you could go back. There's different versions of them where you have comedy and tragedy. And I want to talk about the tragedy, but what I find interesting about these two is if you think about Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet was considered a comedy. And nowhere in that do I mean, I'm sure there were some funny lines, but in reality, this story the comedy really within that was the tragedy in some ways. It's almost a humorous way of looking at it. But what I'm thinking about with this morning is we think about theater, we think about Shakespeare, we think about Macbeth and Hamlet and the things that he wrote. Or you think about the stories that we read in our literature classes of Oedipus. Or, think about the tragedies that we know in life. In fact, we can open up the Bible and we can go to the Old Testament and I can point you to stories that you will see tragedy take place. One of which is David. If we look at the story of David and what happens to his son Absalom and the fact that he loses, or is it, and then Abimelech, he loses children. I mean, you start to see these things being played out. I mean, there are, Isaiah or Isaac and Abraham, that had a chance to be a tragedy, but turned into a great story because we realize that God has provision. And it's with those in mind that I want us to open up to Luke chapter 13 this morning. And I want us to look at five verses that I really believe that this morning we can see something for ourselves in this, something that we can take when we face the tragedies of life. But while you're turning there, I just do want to ask you a question. I mean, we know stories. We know stories about tragedies within our own lives. I mean, I mentioned my dad this morning. I could also talk about my mom being called at 4:30 in the morning when I was living in Boone. And got a phone call at 4:30 in the morning of my dad saying, "You need to get to the hospital." They were already at the hospital in Johnson City. They had taken her by ambulance overnight. And, my mom was coding. She was on her way out. Now, that day went on and it didn't happen until maybe mid-afternoon. But those are the things. And we always find someone who will, people offer support, people, but the support doesn't always help. The struggle that we go through doesn't always give us a peace of mind. And I want you to think about your own lives for a moment. Just take a second and think about tragedies that have happened in your own life. Or maybe what you considered a tragedy. You know, when we're kids, tragedy means something different than when we're adults. When we lose a loved one as an adult, or we lose someone in our family, we think, this is one of the most tragic things I've ever gone through. But as a child, it might be that somebody took the crayon that you were wanting to use. But if you think about perspective, you start to realize it's anything that kind of takes away from our actual desire for what we wanted in our life. Tragedies can be anything, and they are a tragedy to the one who it bothers. That's the thing that's so hard for us to understand today, is that we see someone go through something difficult, and we're like, "Well, but why is that such a problem for them?" But in reality, we're not taking a chance to look at it through their eyes. We're not trying to put ourselves in their shoes and go through the situation with them. And we see it as, well, that wouldn't be such a big deal to me. But to Joe, if he's going through something and I'm looking at it saying it's not a big deal, that still doesn't mean that it's not to Joe. To Joe, it might be the hardest thing he's ever dealt with. We go through difficult times in life. And that is what I want us to look at this morning. Luke chapter 13, we see a story. We see a story where Jesus addresses a tragedy. And I want to address it this morning as best I can so that we understand it. But it says here, starting in verse 1, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I want to see a couple things here, but I want us to understand first that Jesus categorically rejects the idea that there is necessarily a relationship between sin and suffering in a person's life. We all go through struggle, and a lot of times that we've heard it said many times over, the first thing we want to do is when someone goes through a tragic event, we want to first look and we want to see, well, what have they done? You know, what sin did they commit? Why are they now going through this difficult time? What sin did they commit that put them in the circumstance to find themselves in this situation? Well, when someone faces tragedy, Jesus is pretty well saying right here that there is not necessarily a relationship between sin and suffering. Yes, sometimes there is. Yes, sometimes our sin leads directly to the suffering that we face. But not all the time do we find that sin and suffering go hand in hand. In fact, the lack of sin in many cases is the open door for suffering to come, because the devil decides that that is now his mission. I mean, we can look at the life of Jesus. You telling me Jesus died on the cross because of a sin he committed? Yes, Jesus died on the cross because of the sins that were committed by the world. But Jesus didn't die on the cross because of anything that he did. He died because he wanted to give us an opportunity to have freedom for the sins we've committed. Now, if we look at it that way, but, you know, maybe Jesus isn't the best example. All right, Job. Job lost everything. Did Job deserve to lose everything? No. But the devil thought Job would be a good conquest, because the devil wanted Job to take care. You know, he wanted to try to figure out a way to show God that there was a way to keep Job from coming to him. And he tried. He threw the book at him. I mean, everything but death Job faced. Well, here we have two examples given by Christ. One is the Galileans whose blood was mixed with the sacrifice, and they decided, and you know, it made it unclean according to Jewish law. The other was a tower that fell at Siloam, and it fell on 18 who died. This is the only mention we have of that. There is no rhyme or reason that is given other than Jesus mentioning it here. Now let me tell you this. We should note that Jesus offers no explanation for why these things happened. He only tells why they did not. Now, when we're looking at this text, there's five things, and this is the first. Five things I want you to see about Jesus, how he categorically sets this aside and rejects the idea that there is a relationship between sin and suffering. What Jesus is saying here, we need to note that he does not offer an explanation. In these verses that are here, he does not offer any explanation as to why things took place. What we do see is that he only tells why they did not. So he mentions there that the Galileans, do you suppose these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then here's the question that I have with this one. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He talks about a tower in Siloam falling on 18 men. That is a tragedy, folks. And if we look at it today, if we heard about a tower, if something was being built in Newland, or if a building fell, let's just use the building beside the courthouse. I'm not, you know, getting into the politics of it, but what I'm saying is if when they're tearing that building down, it falls on 18 men and kills them, that's a tragedy, right? A house fire that kills someone is a tragedy. A car wreck, when someone loses their life. A bus wrecking, a plane crash, the towers on 9/11, whatever it might be. What Jesus is basically saying here is, were those worse sinners than any of us? No. They aren't. There's not one thing about these people that makes them a worse sinner than any one of us sitting in this congregation today. If someone dies in a car wreck, does that mean that they were a sinner? No. They might be. I mean, yeah, we are human. I mean, you know, we could go over that all day. But what we see in all this is simply that Jesus tells us why things didn't happen, but he didn't tell us why they did. The second thing we see here is that there are two possible reasons why Jesus didn't tell us that these tragedies occurred. And I'm going to just throw them out there for you. One is human evil, because we look at what Pilate, you know, or the Galileans, how they talk about how the blood had been mingled with the sacrifices. So, you know, that's just pure evil on man's behalf. This was a man who mixed the blood of the Galileans with the sacrifice. That's evil. That's the first thing we see. The other is human error. We don't know why the towers fell, but it likely was because something happened in the construction. We don't know why 18 men lost their life when a tower fell, but a tower fell. So we look at human evil and human error as reasons why these things may have happened. The third thing that we see here is that we must not blame God for what people do. We must not blame God for the circumstances that happen. We must not blame God, because God is not the one to blame. Now, you know, I believe that we do have a free choice and a free will to make decisions that can affect others. In fact, let me use an example. Jamie, I have two guitars here. All right, which one should I pick up and play? This one? All right. If I pick up this one, they look seemingly the same, right? But the thing is, Jamie has no way of knowing if this is in tune or not. This one's not, that one is. I'm the only one that knew that. But Jamie picked this guitar, so when I pick it up to try to play, it's not going to come across well. Basically, us blaming God for a choice that's made by someone here on earth is simply this. I picked up this guitar. You blame me because the song doesn't sound good, when Jamie's the one that made the choice. Jamie chose, he could have chosen this one, but he chose this one, right? And no, I didn't actually tell him to pick that one. I would have just figured out a way to do it. But you think about it, we have a choice. Us blaming God for the choice that was made that was a human error. Jamie had no way of knowing which guitar was tuned. But what Jamie did do is pick. Now, I can tune the guitar and get it right, and then we can go and move on with it. But if I'm trying to pick it up and play the song, but then you blame me because it doesn't sound good. Well, that's exactly the boat that God's in. We blame God because something doesn't go right, but we fail to try to figure out why. We fail to ask the right questions to get us there. I believe the main reason that Jesus didn't give an answer to these questions that he asks is that they were asking the wrong questions around him. They were asking questions that did not lead Jesus to give the answer. You know, the key question is not, who is the worst sinner, or why has this happened? We question things like that, and we do it all the time. How many times do we question life? How many times do we get wrapped up in the circumstances of life? How many times do we question things and we say, God, why did this happen? Or we look at someone's life and we say, well, it's because they're a sinner. They've lived this life. They've done this thing. They're doing these things and they're outside of God's will. It's because they're a sinner that this happened to them. No. The question that we all need to ask when tragedy strikes, and a question that I'm sure that many of you came face to face with this past week, I know I did, and that question is simply this: am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet God? Here's why I say that. This is what Jesus is saying. It's the question we all must come face to face with today. The reason I say that is because Jesus said it not once, but twice in this short passage. He asks a question about what took place, about the Galileans' blood, or about the tower falling on those 18 men. Jesus then asked the question of, were they worse sinners? And he says, no. And then he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Folks, we can tell someone by their fruit. We know when someone has lived a good life. But do we really know their heart? No. Do we really know the circumstances that surround someone? No. That's between them and God. But we can tell someone by their fruit. We can tell that they live their lives out the right way. But here we sit this morning, and it takes a chance for us to look inside. It gives us an opportunity to look within our own heart and say, hey, can I be known by my fruit today? Do people see me and see the fruit that is coming out being of the Lord? Or do they see pure evil? Or do they see human error? Do they see things happening within me that are not of God? You know, when we look at it that way, Jesus said that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Well, the fifth thing that we see in this opening, or in this, that tells us is that we may never know why someone or something happens the way that it does. But God can still use it to give us a spiritual wake-up call. God can still use a tragic situation to give us a spiritual wake-up call. A house fire where someone's life was lost. Do you think that was a plan that she had for her life? A car accident where somebody loses a life. Do you think that's the plan that he has for his life? To die in a car wreck at the age of 35. Do you think somebody has in their plan to die in a bombing when Twin Towers fall? Folks, do you really think that the plans in our lives revolve around? I mean, we don't make those plans. But are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet him when the time comes and your number is up? Are you ready to meet him? We don't know when that last moment might be. We don't know when our last breath will be breathed. One of us in this room today could walk out the door, get in a car, and head down the road. And 3 minutes after we leave here, could be in a head-on collision, and that be the last breath we ever take. Are you ready to meet God? You know, this unexpected and unexplained tragedy reminds us of three things. The second part that we talk about, it reminds us that sin is universal. It reminds us that sin is universal. Yes, sin is something that we all need to worry about, and it is universal. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, or 7:20, excuse me, it says, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Romans 3 says, we all know the scripture. We talked about it a number of times. I'm not even going to read all of it. But what it does say is that, you know, if we go to verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." It doesn't matter how good we think we are still sinners. It doesn't matter how good we think our heart is, we are still sinners justified by the blood of Christ. That's what Paul's saying. There is not one good man who walks the face of this earth. Not one. You can't find them. And it doesn't matter who they are. They might be the best person you ever met. They still have sinned. Why do I know this? Because they died. We talk about how good someone is when they pass away, but the truth is the wages of sin are death, right? So if someone passes away, then we know they were a sinner. They didn't live forever. I mean, I'm not one to judge. It's not for me to judge them. But just simply based on those scripture alone, we all face choices that we make in life. Sometimes the choices are right. Sometimes the choices are wrong. Sometimes they don't lead us to the right place. The second thing is that the unexpected and unexplained tragedy that we see in life is this. It reminds us that life is uncertain. Again, I want to remind you, sudden death can come at any moment, at any time. And it can completely take us out of this life. We go to James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What is your life? What is the life that you have before you today? Because the question is, are you ready to meet God? The third thing that we see here is that the unexpected and unexplained tragedy should remind us that repentance is urgent. Jesus said, repent or you will likewise perish. Repent or you will likewise perish. Let me put it this way. All tragedy should be a reminder to us today. All tragedy. Not part of it. Not this one event. Not just the tragedy that happens to you. Believe me, we know about tragedy. We hear about it day in and day out when we turn on the news, when we open the newspaper. We see tragic events happening around us all day. Do you really think that those who were in that news story had a plan for that to be the tragic end of their life? Do you really think that they woke up that morning and said, today's a good day to go get blown up. Today's a good day to die in a plane crash. Today's a good day. No. Nobody says that about their life. Unless they're pure evil. I mean, because the only ones that would say that would be the ones that are causing the problem. I think. I mean, I may be wrong, but I just don't see that anyone wakes up with the plan being that day is the day that they are going to take that out. Now, there are things that happen around lives, and we can talk about this over the next couple of weeks possibly, but there are things that happen with tragedy that we need to understand. Tragedy shakes and awakens us. Tragedy shakes us, and it destroys us to our core. It will shake our self-confidence, and it will awaken our God consciousness. How many of you, when you go through a tragedy, September 11th, 2001 was one of the best examples I can take. And that is, it sure seemed a lot of people knew God when that happened. Because fear kind of overtook and all of a sudden it awakened us to what God was doing. But the thing is that we need to understand repentance is not optional today. Repentance isn't an optional thing. It is essential for our lives in Christ. For us to understand tragedy today, we need to understand that we have a need that only God can fill. We talked about worry and stress a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about depression and how to knock that out. This week we're talking about tragedy, and the answer is the same to all of those. Where do we turn? Turn to God. Why do we turn to God? Because God fills that hole that we have that nothing else can fill. Tragedy might strike, and it may tear us down, and it may bowl us over, and we may not understand why. Tragedy can hit us like a logging truck. I actually am very glad you shared that story. Because that analogy that he gave this morning is very similar to what happens with tragedy. But the thing is there's going to be a change. When tragedy strikes, there's going to be a change. It's like getting hit by the logging truck. There's going to be something happen because we just don't understand what life is without knowing what God can do through the circumstance. Do you think Job woke up one morning and said, today I'm going to lose my family? Today I'm going to get bulls? Today I'm going to have all these terrible things happen in my life? I'm going to lose everything that I've worked my entire life for? You know, Job wasn't prepared for what hit him. I wasn't prepared to get a phone call to come home because my dad had passed away. I wasn't prepared to get a phone call at 3:30 in the morning because my mom had coded at the hospital. I wasn't prepared when I was 19 years old, 21 years old, and I was in a car accident and we flipped 4.5 times. But I'm here. Because those moments have prepared me for now. And each one of us can look back at our lives. We can look back at the things that we're facing. We can look back at the things that we face. And we can say, I wasn't prepared when that moment came, but look what it did for me. Look where it brought me. Because not
You know, I went through the tragedy, and then I listened to the words of Jesus saying, if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. I've gone through the tragedy of losing folks in my life. Now, I'm not saying that my mom and dad are sinners. No. I'm saying that when you come to that reality and you face a tragedy in your life, immediately the first thing that you pop into is this mentality of, well, I need to face my own death. I mean, for 2 weeks after Dad died, I was 32, 33 years old, and I actually was telling people, I said, look, I said, the way I figured, Mom died at 55, Dad died at 55, I got roughly 22 years left. Looking back at it now, that was one of the dumbest things I could have ever said. Because I don't know that I have 22 years left. It could be 42, it could be 52, it could be 2. I don't know when that last moment will come, but I don't need to plan for that last moment to be so far away that I can't turn to God. Today is the day that I need to turn. And if I need to turn today, and you need to turn today, then today is the day that you make that choice. Don't let tragedy ruin you. But if you need to turn, if you need to come back to Him, if you need to see Him today, today is the day, because you don't know that tomorrow. How are you going to deal with tragedy today? Let's stop asking the questions of why did this happen? Well, who did this? Well, what did they do that caused the problem? And let's just simply ask that one question. Are you ready to meet God? If you're not, then come as we sing. If you are, then share it with someone else. But today we need to see God move in a mighty way.